This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
When is a steady close a win? When it happens in the first session after a sharp gain, and on the same day that December corn had a $4 handle for the first time since mid-August. That's when I call a steady close a win.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, a conversation with Stuart Peterson's Naomi Bloom. And right after the news, perspective from Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey. What's happening, Davis?
Hey, it's great to see
you. You know, I thought you were going all Captain Kirk on us there for a while.
And now, this is AgriTalk.
Yes. Oh, man. Seriously, though, when Jack gets on here, I want to talk to him about this, but I'm calling today a win in Deese corn.
Okay.
I'm calling today a win in beans. We are very close in the November bean contract to where we got to this last fall, or this last spring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? It was just under 950, the November 19 contract got up to.
Mm-hmm.
And we were over 945 today at one point in the November contract. I mean, we're back up there. And when you get that Deese corn contract back over $4, which it was for a period of time today.
Yeah.
You know.
We're just 2.25 cents shy of that, unchanged at the close.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason that I call it a win is, number one, the funds are still in a position where if the market does make an assault on overhead resistance,
mm-hmm.
the funds are going to step up and defend their short position.
Okay.
They're going to step up and sell it. Okay? So we get that move, got a gap over $4 this morning. Now we fell back, we filled that gap
mm-hmm.
in corn and soybeans, but this is the kind of price action that suggests
mm-hmm.
the selling is kind of the buying. There's more conviction behind the buying than there is behind the selling. There.
Ooh.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Very good. Well, you look very excited. I can tell the listeners from just a visual representation, I can see that you are very excited.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. The way the beans were trading lower for a period of time came back. It wasn't a hugely higher close, but it was a higher close in the bean market.
Mm-hmm.
Yanked that corn market back up to steady to fractionally lower. It felt like a pretty good day all the way
around. We've talked in the past about that steady drumbeat of health
yes.
within the market. And it doesn't, you know, sometimes the healthiest move is not a giant move one way
That's
or
right.
the other.
That's
rather,
right.
rather a slow grind.
Let's get into the news.
Professional trading funds remain on the short side of the wheat market. And the weekend snowstorm in the northern plains and Canadian prairies encouraged some light short covering to start the week. Traders also continue to digest last week's supply and demand report from USDA, which showed expectations for a bigger-than-expected carryover at the end of 2019 and 20 marketing year. December hard red futures were 6.25 cents higher, 425. December soft red futures up 3 cents to 511 even. December spring wheat was 4 cents higher at 552 even. Got that soft red futures contract 11 cents above that $5 mark. That
yeah.
seems fairly significant to me. I'm excited about that.
Well, sure. And you should be excited about that because it's a big move that we've got going on in that market. And,
mm-hmm.
and any time that we can scare a little bit of selling out of the wheat market, I'll take it. The other thing that the wheat traders are watching, some dry conditions over in Russia and Ukraine.
Okay. Well, corn traders seemed unfazed by the wet winter storm in the Dakotas and Minnesota or by the sub-freezing temps that dipped into the middle of the Corn Belt over the weekend. It is unclear how much damage was done to the 2019 corn crop over the past 3 days, but until there is definitive evidence of damage, the market has decided to push ahead with last week's crop estimate and supply and demand balance sheets. Thanks to a bigger-than-expected crop estimate and a bigger-than-expected 2019-20 corn crop carryover estimate,
yep.
the market was on the defensive today. December corn futures steady, 397 and three quarters. March corn slipped a quarter of a penny to 407 and a half. May corn closed at 412 and a half, down a quarter cent today.
Snowstorm, we don't care.
Snowstorm, schmo-storm.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. They just, and hey, maybe that's justified, maybe it's not, but we'll figure it out later.
10-4. Well, while all ag markets felt the influence of last week's apparent phase one agreement in trade talks with China, the bean market is most focused on the deal. Skepticism over the trade deal slipped back into the markets over the weekend, which overshadowed concerns about damage to the bean crop in the upper Midwest.
So, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those pictures that you all sent me. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I appreciate you and tagging Ag. We're talking those those pictures on Twitter, but they just look terrible on that bean crop, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Well, traders are awaiting details of what China's purchases of 40 to 50 billion of U.S. ag products would look like and when they might happen. And most importantly, traders are waiting for the details to be written, agreed to, and to have papers signed by the presidents Trump and Xi before they'll decide a deal's done.
That's right.
That's a short order, I guess.
Yeah.
November bean futures 4.5 cents higher, 940.5. Jan beans up 4.5, 955. Even March beans, 965, up 4 cents on the day, Chip. And on the livestock side, quickly, October cattle 117.5 higher, 110.62.5. December cattle futures jumped a $1.30 to close at 113.45, and October feeders were up 145 to close at 145.55. That's last week's strength in the cash cattle market showing up here to help futures.
Right.
And on the snout side, lean hog traders were reluctant to buy in on the U.S.-China trade deal, but with China's pork imports up sharply from year-ago levels, odds are growing this month's high tonnage sales of pork to China will eventually be shipped. October hogs were 15 cents higher, 63.07.5. December hogs dropped 47.5 cents, 69.12.5. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, I said it at the start of the show. I'm pretty impressed with the market. Even the steady close in corn, I think, after the gains that we saw on Friday, I got to be impressed by the market action.
Hey, the market held, and the market's holding on a nice bulge, and that's always an impressive sign. You know, looking at it, we're making a push towards the 450 area in the corn. When we can get above that, I think we'll, you know, maybe we'll start to hear a little bit more selling interest. But until then, I don't think any producer, especially one caught in a snowstorm or two, is going to be too interested in selling. And the beans. The closer we get to 950 or above, I would say above 950, the more interest you'll probably encounter. But for right now, none of the producers are more interested in getting out into the field, seeing what they actually got, and not really worried about too much about getting some selling on the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is exactly right, Jack. When we look at what's going on over in the livestock trade here real quick, It feels to me like hogs are right on the edge of just making a decision that, you know what, to heck with it, we're not going to sell these things anymore.
Well, you know, we've known for how long that there's a lot of hogs out there. But the fact of the matter is the demand has been really super good. U.S. processors are making sure they got plenty of hogs to slaughter as we go into the fall months, because everybody's looking over their shoulder at China. And we do know one thing. If China's going to buy a whole lot of U.S. ag products, pork is going to be part of the mix. Probably beef, probably poultry, probably soybeans, but a lot of pork.
That is exactly right. And with every pound of pork is going to go a little bit of U.S. corn and a little bit of U.S. soybean meal. Oh, I like the sounds of all that, Jack. Thank you. We will talk to you again next week. Okay, bud?
I'll be around.
All right. That is Jack Scoville with the Price Futures Group. It's a lot of information in this market right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're working hard to digest all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing at Stuart Peterson up next. Talking with Dave Byram, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Bloomington, Illinois. Dave, looking at commodity prices for wheat, many growers question whether cereal seed treatments still provide value. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we need to always take a look at the history of cereals. Cereal seed treatments have always been a mainstay in treating cereals to be planted in the fall. You know, historically, a lot of our cereals are planted from the bin, not necessarily new seed. And we have to ensure that that seed's protected because we want to protect the genetic potential of the seed. As we're planting earlier and lower seeding rates, it's important to maintain that genetic potential to realize the true agronomic benefit, because seed treatment is the final piece to the manufacturing process. We want the seed treatment and the seed to be one. As we're planting earlier, we want to protect that seed from pests, whether it be pathogens or insects. And Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals does that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what kind of a performance have you seen from the Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals in Illinois?
When we get into Illinois, I mean, the past several years, our yields have been through the roof at many of the locations where we plant a lot of wheat. We plant earlier, the planting season earlier. It's much more compact with the size equipment we have, and Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals has been a key enabler to realizing that yield advantage that we've seen go up over the years as our cultural practices have changed. Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals is the final piece to the manufacturing process. It promotes uniform stand, consistent establishment, and you can see the uniformity as it emerges through the field, yep, which has allowed the farmer to realize substantial yield gain.
Gotcha. Thank you, Dave. That is Dave Byram, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Bloomington, Illinois.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Give us a call. We've got a great conversation going for you today. It is 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Mm-hmm. All right, Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, is my guest today. Naomi, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I am good, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing just dandy. The weather has got me in better mood than what it did most of the weekend long. We've got some sunshine. It's not all that warm, but at least the sun is shining.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. What a dismal weekend indeed.
Yeah, no doubt. But as dismal as it was for me here in Northeast Iowa and you over there in Wisconsin, we're still trying to figure out what the fallout is going to be from that storm in the Dakotas into Minnesota and some of those cold temperatures. What are you picking up from your clients today, Naomi?
Just hearing a lot of people, I think, still digging out from snow and still just trying to understand exactly what occurred with their crops. And they're telling me that it's going to take either a few days, maybe a few weeks, depending on where they lived and what happened, to really assess any damage and to assess how they can proceed going forward. Overall, though, in the news, no matter what, supportive to the marketplace, it just delays harvest for so many in the Dakotas until that snow melts. And they can actually get back out there combining again. But prior to the big snowstorm coming through, we consistently were hearing yield results coming in lower than last year, lower than five-year averages. So I am just anxious to really get more definitive numbers. But again, it's going to be a long, drawn-out harvest season.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Jack Scoville from Price Futures was just talking about, for anybody that fears they may have been nipped by the weekend cold, by the storm up in the upper Midwest, if they're going to leave bushels in the field, whether it be for corn or for soybeans, anybody that's got some added uncertainty on their total production, it's just going to be that much harder for them to pull the trigger and make some sales.
Oh, absolutely. Even if the pricing opportunities arise, you still don't have that confidence to know, if you should be letting go of any old crop that you have, because you don't know yet if you need to use that towards any new crop contracts. Nope. So it's going to be just more stress, I think, for producers going forward. And Hightower puts out some good facts this morning. They were saying that there could have been as many as 15 million acres of soybeans that were at risk from all of the weather issues that happened over the weekend, and specifically in the Dakotas, almost 5 million acres, 4.7 million acres of soybeans were at risk. So, that would be a totally game changer if we can't get to those and get them harvested. And, especially for those producers, I'm thinking of the ones who did make cash sales this summer and did do forward contracting. Again, the stress that they might be under.
Yeah, that is exactly right. So for someone that is dealing with some of the worst, and I'm thinking of guys up in North Dakota right now, when they see a market today that was up 4 or 5 cents in beans, steady, even fractionally lower in corn, they might look at it and be a little disgusted over everything. But Naomi, when you take a look at these charts, we're doing some things that I guess you would expect to see in a quote-unquote short crop year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, post-harvest rally has been impressive. Today's high, looking at both the November and the January contracts, we have met the high that we saw from June. We're there. So the market, I think, it maybe wants to respond to the weather issues, and I think it wants to get excited about the potential China and trade issues, but it's very aware that it is up near technical resistance on charts. However, if we can get some additional concrete news that suggests that, yes, this crop is continuing to get smaller, and then hopefully the demand can improve, we're talking 50 cents to the technical upside on the futures charts. That could happen quickly because the funds just finally started to go long in the soybeans. They're still short in the corn market. So the futures market has a lot of potential here. We just need that news to trigger the buying.
Yeah. 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 So the move over $4 in Dees corn today, Naomi, I mean, the way that this market traded from, post planting delay rally, the idea that we were going to see this Dees corn contract climb back on top of $4, for a period of time in there, it just seemed like it was completely foreign, that it wouldn't happen. Now that we're right there again, how does that change our attitude towards marketing this crop?
I would be a little bit more patient going forward. If we can clear that $4 mark, the upside potential that I'm seeing is $4.25, and that takes us back to what had been support in May and in June and then early July, and then ultimately now that'll be some bigger overhead resistance, and that'll probably also correlate with the downtrending line. It'll all intersect at that price point. And then I'll be a little bit more aggressive on marketing if we can get up to that 425 level, because at that point, like we were saying, it's going to take forever to know what is out there in the field, and it'll be likely that the USDA is very slow and cautious to lower yields going forward. So we have to be really smart and strategic with how we capture these opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, we could climb over $4, set back again before we get up to 4.25 later, you know, in March or April on some kind of another, well, there seems like a planning delay rally is becoming an annual event now. So,
exactly.
You know, it does set the stage for that move. The timing on it becomes the bigger question on when it's going to happen. And, you know, you can't ignore or lose track of the carry that's in this market right in the corn market right now either, can you?
Oh, that's a good point. So specifically on that, you know, with the DEIS 2020 contract, we're trading at 410 right now. And so there's opportunities that are going to be coming along there as well. You bet.
Yeah. Yeah, don't lose track of the opportunity to maybe get started on some 2020 corn. You know, that's one of those don't get aggressive, but don't get crazy. Or get started, but don't get crazy.
Right. And the other part of this, too, is that as the marketplace is working higher in the weeks and months to come, we'll get a better idea of what's happening with South America. If they end up, you know, it's a slow start right now for planting, but if they end up having a good year, well, that kind of takes some of the thunder out of our scenario and then keeps prices in check for a little while longer. And I'm so curious to see how our acreage situation ends up being next year, because now we actually have a bullish story emerging for both corn and soybeans going forward, to where, you know, for a while everyone was going to say, no, 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 plant more corn, and then it was leaning, maybe we're going to do beans, and now we have a real fight coming on our hands, and we haven't even gotten to that yet, because we're still dealing with all this harvest mess.
Yeah, I hope there is a battle for acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it last year was a giveaway. Beans were trying to see just how fast they could give acres away to corn there for a period of time. And to have an actual competition for acres, and the only way that that happens is if your stocks-to-use ratio tightens up enough to, you know, put some value in moving those acres around. Boy, that would be really nice to see at some point this winter and into early spring of 2020. Boy,
absolutely. That'd be
outstanding. Absolutely. You know, and a lot of that, you mentioned it, a lot of that is going to be determined by how well or how good that Brazilian bean crop is, right?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And, you know, they're pretty much about, from what I saw this morning, like maybe 10% planted for their bean crop, and normally, like a year ago, they were like 21% planted. So I think people are keeping an eye on that situation. I think China is also keeping an eye on that situation with the idea of, you know what, hey, it's not perfect down there, so maybe they can't totally rely on them to meet all their needs. And then with all of the political turmoil that still is occurring in Argentina, they might be a little bit slower to let go of their soybeans. So I think there's going to be opportunities for us. And China, I think, is on top of this, and that's why we're trying to hear some better rhetoric in terms of the trade deal going on. And so we just need that to get going, because with what they're talking about, $50 billion worth of farm purchases, that's huge. You know, you look back, in 2017, we had $24 billion, and in 2012, when China was buying everything they could get their hands on, then there was almost $26 billion worth of goods purchased. So we're talking about doubling that. How exciting would that be? As you said earlier on the show, in terms of livestock purchases, and then what that would mean for us in terms of demand for grains as well. So a lot of exciting things coming forward.
Yeah, yeah. Even if, you know, if it is 40 to 50, even if it is spread out over 2 years, it's a whole heck of a lot better than what we dealt with in 2018.
Yes, exactly. We'll take it. Absolutely.
That's right. That is exactly right. Okay, I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back, because if there is a source of frustration around today's trade, it might be that there's just a high level of skepticism that anything was actually accomplished in the talks between U.S. and China. And then I want to talk some more livestock. Let's talk cattle, hogs, and get into the dairy markets when we come back with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Market. Next.
Are Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at November soybean futures again today. No beans broke out above major resistance in the $9 per bushel area 2 weeks ago and kept climbing. In fact, it surged to a 10-week high at 939 and a quarter at last Friday's high, then followed through to the upside today, closing at 939 and three quarters. But the fact that it set back sharply from its intraday high indicates emerging resistance, as does its 14-day relative strength index around 70, which implies it's getting technically overbought. Also, today's action, in which it opened and closed near the same level after having moved significantly higher and lower, created a doji star waiting signal on the candlestick chart. This suggests the next significant move in either direction will project a subsequent price trend.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Dan. Thank you. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end-of-season rewards.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Glory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yeah.
And we are talking with Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Before we get back to that conversation, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed today.
Well, Chip, December hard red futures were 6.25 cents higher at 425 and three quarters. December soft red futures firmed 3 cents to 511 even. December corn futures were steady at 397 and three quarters. March corn slipped a quarter of a cent to 407 and a half. November bean futures 4.5 cents higher, 940 and a half. Jan beans gained 4.5 cents to 955 even. On the livestock side, October cattle 117.5 higher at 110.62.5. October feeders up 145 to close at 145.55. And October hogs were 15 cents higher, 63.07.5. There's your quick market recap. Back to it, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yep. Naomi Bloom is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. And Naomi, like I was saying at the end of the last segment, if there is one thing that might be frustrating from today's trade, it would be that the market remains very skeptical that anything is actually getting done between the U.S. and China. Is that healthy or is that being too cautious?
I think it's appropriate, given the history of the situation. Anytime we get excited in the past, we get our hands slapped pretty quick, and then that marketplace prices get taken away from us. So I think the market right now is wanting to be sure before it accelerates to the upside, and we have to really, of course, have an understanding of exactly what that will mean specific to purchases for each commodity going forward. But there's a lot of potential there for the livestock market, definitely.
Okay. All right. More so for the livestock market than for the grains?
I think equal opportunity for all.
Okay.
I'm thinking, from the cattle perspective, you know, looking at this, we haven't normally sold a lot of beef to China. It's always gone through the back door of Hong Kong. So it would be really exciting to get some of those things on the books. Of course, same with the hog purchases going forward. There's talk of more demand there. You know, the hog flu or the African swine fever continues to spread throughout Southeast Asia. So in general, there should be more and more opportunities there for our hog producers. And I think that's why we see production continuing to expand. And finally, though, you know, we are seeing some of those prices starting to work a little higher. I think there's actually legitimate more ideas that this is going to go down, the deals are going to get done, mm-hmm. and we're going to be able to increase our exports.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you look at the increases over a year ago on their pork imports, their beef imports, and then, you know, I saw a number today. I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but it sounds domestic hog prices over there are equivalent to $250 a hundred.
That's
here
crazy.
In the U.S. Is that it?
Wow! I hadn't heard that yet, but that would make sense. And then I'm sure you've been seeing the stories about how heavy the hogs are over there. I mean, just feeding them to excess to try to get as much as they can per animal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, as long as we're on that, let's go ahead and stay with it for hogs. Does it make you want to do anything for marketings on hogs right now? I mean, we got this December contract in the lean hogs at just over $69. But you look out at the February at over 77, the April up there at 83.50, May at 89, June at 93. We're pricing in a lot of expected demand here.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what's going on. And with these nearby contracts, what excites me the most, like specifically mm-hmm. looking at the December contract, we're up against a major downtrending line, and I think we're finally getting up enough traction and steam to bust through it to the upside on these technical charts. December contract that I'm looking at, I think that once we can get through this resistance number, the 71 area, I think the upside potential, you know, actually goes back towards our prices from March into the low to mid-80s. So I think that's very supportive, and those deferred contracts, yeah, they're pricing in, I think, the demand that's coming down the road. Of course, there's the cautious side of me that thinks about how big our production is.
Yep.
Total pork production up 9% from what we had last week from the year prior. So I'm always like, oh, Lord, if this demand front, you know, falters in any way, prices could fall apart quick. But it just feels like we're finally getting that traction, though, especially with the deferred contracts reflecting what they're reflecting. I think there's the upside is there. But when we get higher and work higher, then I'll be real quick to make sure that we are locking in those opportunities for producers.
Yeah, I've got to be careful in what I say here. But when whenever you see a market over $83, mm-hmm. any contract month,
right?
You know, it really gets me. It gets me thinking about getting some kind of downside protection in place here. And you know, going all the way out to the June, with the amount of volatility that we've got in the hogs and buying that much time, I'm sure that the puts are not inexpensive. but I might be looking at some way, somehow, of building a price floor in some of those spring and summer month marketings on hogs.
Yep, I don't disagree with you from the standpoint of you just never know what can come out and why lose the opportunity that's there. At the same time, boy, those charts look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. They really do, no doubt. Okay, from at @AdamLash1, what should dairy producers do as far as protecting margins, considering the front months are much higher than those further out? So let's take a look at that Class 3 milk futures contracts. The October is at 1861. November is about steady at 1864. Then it starts to slide off a bit. Got the Dece at 1795, Jan at 1715, Feb 1682, and then holding about steady into the March contract at 1680. What should the dairy producers be doing right now?
Yeah, so what I am encouraging my clients to be thinking about is this is a time to be putting in a price floor with some put option strategies, not spending a lot of money on it just because the outlook for dairy is actually improving. And there's essentially, you know, there's three things going on right now. The cheese demand is phenomenal overall, and that's what led the whole market rally higher for September heading into October, just this constant cheese demand. Our exports are still pretty ho-hum, and our milk production is kind of just leveled off here for a little bit. So put a price floor underneath things, but there potentially is more upside coming on the futures market, and I think it really just stems from the feed issues that we're going to be seeing as we continue to go forward, from a quality issue, from a quantity issue. We're going to be struggling. I mean, here in Wisconsin specifically, there are dairies who are continuing to scramble. We did not have the hay crop that we normally would have. We have corn silage that, you know, it's coming in to the point where guys are like, you know, I have to almost have like double the amount to get what I would have from a year ago because it's just not there. And so it's like taking an Olympic athlete who is used to amazing nutrition, and now all of a sudden you're going to feed them pasta. And so it's going to affect milk production going forward. It's going to come down. So that's why I think I'm not saying lock everything in, because that upside is there, and it's going to be because of the nutrition, and I think we're going to see lower production heading into 2020.
Right. Gotcha. Interesting stuff there. Okay, let's jump over to cattle. This market, when you take a look at the charts, and we get this Dece contract back up over $113 today, that move from the September, it was early September, not all that early, September 9th, from the September 9th low, which was down there south of $99. The low was at 98.20. Here we are today climbing back on top of 113. This is a heck of a move here, Naomi.
Yeah, huge. Right up to the highs from July. We're right up against the 200-day moving average. What would really be wonderful is if this cattle complex, if we could see prices just stagger sideways here a little bit. I think there's the potential for more upside. I mean, that cattle on feed report from a couple weeks ago was really, really supportive towards things. We're seeing the cash markets improving. Box beef cutout values were up $215.66 last week, highest since that we had since September 23rd. So I think there's upside there, but I'm also a little bit cautious to it because we have had such a tremendous rally so far. But the other part to this, too, is that the funds had been short and record short for them for what they trade in cattle. Mm-hmm. And now they're at the point of going long in the marketplace. And so, again, if we can get traction on the demand front in terms of exports, that'll really help take that market higher. So I'm supportive to that. Looking at the deferred contracts, boy, they're already working higher in February cattle today. Mm-hmm. Had a real tiny breakaway gap, again, to the upside because it got through that resistance from the summer high. And to me, it looks like there's some upside potential going. But on any continued further rally, I would start looking at getting some hedges in place.
Yeah. Okay. Just because of the amount of volatility that we've got in the cattle market and the hog market right now, are you leaning towards a futures position or an options position when you're managing risk there?
Obviously, that would depend on each person and their specific
sure.
needs, but I would say quite now, quite frankly, I think there's a little bit more upside to go. So I would rather put in a price floor with a put option,
okay.
leave the upside wide open, not have to do with margin call potential, because we just don't know what this China situation will yield in terms of demand, new demand. I think our U.S. economy is still plugging along okay. I was looking at the restaurant index and indicator, and they were trying to say, well, it looks like people aren't going out to eat. And I would say it's only because families are super busy this time of year. Believe me, I think people want to go out to eat, but there's just not enough time in the day. There's going to be more demand going forward. Cattle
gotcha.
Market has a bright future ahead.
Good stuff. Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones indeed. You bet.
All right. All right. Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate all the time here today. That is Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. We got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, up next.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today and be a part of the conversation there with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson.
Cheese demand on the rise.
Yeah, she covered a lot of the markets today for us, didn't she?
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Both her and Brian are really good at that. Brian Doherty works like right next to her, I believe. It's always fun to talk to those guys because they can cover all the markets. It's kind of an old school approach to things.
Old school.
Yes. Yes.
I like to have a little cheese, a little brie.
Yeah.
It's usually nice, especially when I've got guests coming over. I'm saying for the holiday season, you want to impress the guests. You know, you want to put on a little shishi air for the evening.
Yeah.
Put on some delicious cheese. Maybe some dried meats of some kind.
Nice.
A fig here and there.
Charcuterie.
A little charcuterie. Yes.
That would be wonderful.
Yes.
That would be wonderful.
If you
speaking of guests.
Yes.
We've got another one.
A whole other guest?
Yes.
Still to go?
Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. How are you, Carrie?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing all right.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. All right, guys. Don't forget, free 2-week trial to the Artak Advisory is available at Artak, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Just go there, and Carrie will get you lined up. Carrie, let's kick it off. Dease corn.
Thanks, Chip. Yeah, Dease corn. Just a reminder that in early September, we tested long-term support in the lower 350s, and following that test, I maintained a 2 to 3 month upside target at 427 3/4. We're about a month and a half into that buy signal. Inside this wide range, both 398 1/4 and 378 1/4 can contain weekly activity this week. Now, December corn is presently testing the 398 1/4 ceiling, and if it settles this week Friday above 398 1/4, then you know we should reach that targeted 427 3/4 level over the next 2 to 3 weeks, where the broader corn market can top out through winter trade. Downside, an unlikely settlement Friday below 378 1/4 would signal another test over the next 2 to 3 weeks of 354 even long-term support, where the broader corn market can bottom out through next year, and as I mentioned a moment ago, above which 427 3/4 remains a 2 to 3 month upside target. On to November beans. For the last several months, I've mentioned on your show how the upper 920s represented a meaningful longer-term ceiling with regard to the November contract. And if we settled above it on a weekly basis, it would indicate secondary buying in the later contract life. Well, of course, that did occur last Friday, and the November soybean contract does remain bullish into expiration. So long as we continue holding above 927 3/4, we settle today 940 1/2. And I am expecting 1004 1/2 now over the next 3 to 5 weeks. That is the next target where the broader bean market, which would include both the January and March 2020 contracts, can top out through spring. While highly unlikely between now and November expiration, it should be mentioned that a weekly settlement above that 1004 1/2 target sets off yet another buy signal through winter trade. The broader bean complex then expected to reach 1155 within 3 to 5 months. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Our next target is 1004 1/2, where we can top out into next spring. Downside, if we close Friday the week back below 927 3/4, all bets are off. That would actually indicate a good November contract high. I would then expect 890 1/2 within 2 to 3 weeks, possibly 850 even by November expiration. But bottom lining this, we are bullish above 927 3/4, expecting 1004 1/2 by the end of November.
Nice.
And finally, December live cattle, since that early September test of long-term support at 93.62 when the October contract was lead, I've maintained a 2 to 3 month upside target at 116 even, and by next summer we could see the 132 handle. Now, the initial 2 to 3 month target at 116 even will likely be tested this week, and if so, it can contain buying through winter. Once tested, these live cattle susceptible to falling back to 103 even by the end of November, possibly lower into winter trade. On the other hand, a weekly settlement Friday above 116 even maintains a decidedly bullish dynamic through winter trade. That 132 even summer target I mentioned a moment ago, then expected within a mere 3 to 5 months, where the broader live cattle market can top out through next summer.
Gotcha.
And that's all I've got, Chip, for those three markets.
Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. We're making some moves.
Yeah.
I mean, you start gaining momentum like Kerry is talking about here, and all of a sudden, you're targeting 10.04 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Imagine.
Exactly. That's a better opportunity than we got all spring.
Yeah, it really is.
So, this is something to pay attention to here. And the stuff that Kerry is looking at are the things that the professional trading fund managers and the algorithms will study. And this all has an impact on what the attitudes are.
Yeah, and I mentioned your excited countenance at the front end of the show. It sounds like Kerry Artak is
feeling it.
Is backing up that exuberance here as we close it out.
You darn right he is. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for October 20th through the 24th. We've got above normal temperatures expected in the Eastern Corn Belt. That's Eastern Wisconsin, all of Illinois, Southeast Missouri, Eastern Arkansas, Louisiana, and all points to the east. Normal temperatures right through the middle of the country, Minnesota, Iowa, most of Missouri, Eastern Kansas, Far Eastern Nebraska included in that, and below normal temperatures expected in the western areas of the Corn Belt, most of the Dakotas, most of North Dakota, Nebraska, and western Kansas included in that. The bad news is for October 20th through the 24th, above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt.
Yeah, looky there.
I mean, that, and I mean, not just kind of odds of above normal precip, but the National Weather Service is putting 60% odds of above normal precipitation over Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Arkansas, down in Louisiana, eastern Nebraska's in there for that October 20th through the 24th. So, I mean, better than a coin flip is what they're telling us.
Yep.
All right, let's get to it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Tractors Doing It. On the modern farm, some jobs would be nearly impossible without tractors doing it. And now today's tweets at Tanner J. Holt. Contrary to appearances, we are not starting a tractor breeding program. This is just what happens when operators don't pay attention.
I saw that.
Yeah, that picture is the kind of thing I would imagine Machinery Pete's got calendars of in his machine shed. Wink, wink. At Lukey Newsreel, you know you live in a semi-rural city when you see a huge tractor driving through the city. And one more, at Smith Ag Conrad, just saw somebody pulling field signs using a chain and a loader. Apparently, I've been doing that all wrong.
Yeah.
For decades, use the tractor.
Yes, all right. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Jack and Naomi. Tomorrow morning, Ken Smithmeyer from Clipper Data and Brian Grady from Pro Farm.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.